Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Friday on this 18th day of September 2020. And I'm so delighted that I have, for the very first time ever on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Aaron M. Brewster, who for over 10 years has served God and his people in various capacities, including husband, father, homeschooling parent, preacher, biblical counselor, president of a nonprofit that serves Christian families, conference speaker, camp director, Christian school administrator, director of a boarding home for at-risk teens, podcaster, author, and host of Truth Love Parent. And today we are going to be addressing the challenges of Christian parenting today. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the first time ever to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Aaron Brewster.
Thank you very much, Chris. Yeah, that's a really long list. are you sure that's right? That's fantastic. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Well, it's a lot longer list than my own credentials, I'll tell you that much. And so tell us about Truth Love Parent before we go into any more details about our theme today and also about your personal salvation testimony.
Sure, yeah, my pleasure. So Truth Love Parent started back in 2016 as an extension of the work I was doing at Victory Academy for Boys, which is a boarding school in the north of Wisconsin. I was doing a parent program, and long story short, I decided to package it up as a podcast, put it out there not just for the families we were serving, but also to put it out there for anyone else who might be looking for biblical answers to their parenting needs. And the Lord blessed, and it's connected me with a worldwide audience. And this past year, so starting in January, my family and I, we stepped out on faith, and we moved from Victory Academy to pursue Truth Love Parent full-time. And the big motivation behind that really had to do with the fact that at Victory Academy, we were working with at-risk families. And my deep desire for Truth Love Parent was to help equip parents to have the types of families that don't need, Lord willing, to have to send their children to a place like Victory Academy, to help them preventatively at the very beginning of their family life to be able to working and toward a more Christ-honoring trajectory. And so we've been doing that since January, and we are very close, just a few steps away from being a 501c3, and super excited about what the Lord has in store for us in the future.
Praise God. Well, if anybody wants to know more about Truth Love Parent, you can go to truthloveparent.com, truthloveparent.com, and I'm sure we'll be announcing that throughout the broadcast. Well, as I hinted at just a moment ago, we have a tradition here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio whenever we have a first-time guest, at least when that first-time guest is a Christian. There are rare occasions I interview somebody who is not a Christian for one reason or another. Perhaps they still have something of value to say to the body of Christ, and I'll allow them to have an interview on this program. But as you are among the 99.999% of my guests who are Christian, I would like for you now to give a summary of your salvation testimony, including the religious atmosphere, if any, you were raised in, and what providential circumstances our sovereign Lord raised up in your life that drew you to himself and saved you.
Well, that's one of my favorite things to talk about, so I appreciate the opportunity, and it's a great tradition you guys have. So I grew up in a home that was really, for all intents and purposes, a first, potentially second-generation Christian family. Both of my parents, as they grew up, their family, their parents and their brothers and sisters were unsaved. My mom's family all came to the Lord basically all at the same time when she was, I believe, in high school. And so growing up there, my parents loved the Lord, but they didn't grow up themselves in a Christian home, and so they didn't grow up really in solid churches that had prepared them to be parents. So they were doing their dead level best, and I'm so thankful for that. And one of the great things I think my mom in particular did for me was I had made a profession of faith when I was five. And as I look back, most likely it was just to escape the realities of hell, you know, just some type of self-preservation. But at the age of nine, so 4 years later, my mom confronted me, and she said, you know, Aaron, it seems that everything in your life is done for you, whether it's the good things you do or the bad things you do. It's just all about how you are going to benefit from it. And she went on to describe and explain to me that Christians aren't perfect, but their driving motivation is to live for the Lord, to submit to Him. And I had just shown over and over again in my life that was not something I was trying to do. And I remember as a nine-year-old being offended by my mom questioning my salvation, but the reality was that I had always questioned my salvation. I always struggled with that, and it had large part to do with the fact that there was a lot of sin in my life, and I knew that I really wasn't truly a follower of Christ. And the Lord used my mom to open my eyes to that and that need, and later that year, I was born again, so at the age of nine. And I'm a double Baptist. You know, so that makes me more Baptist than most. I was baptized once when I was five, but for real, the first time when I was nine.
Huh.
And then, yep. And then at the age of 12, I dedicated my life to full-time Christian service. It was during, we moved around a lot. Where I am now, this is my 22nd move. And so it was, I kind of remember my life not as ages primarily, but more like houses and places where we lived. But I do remember this particular age. We were living in Missouri at the time, and there was an evangelist at our church. And I really, really believed that the Lord would be most glorified in my life by me being in full-time Christian service. So unfortunately, one of our next moves took us to Michigan. And nothing wrong with Michigan, but the unfortunate part was that still I was very much a double-minded man, unstable in all of my ways, because you know, I loved the things of the Lord genuinely. I was a follower of His, but I also was too in love with myself. And so I entered a time from the ages of 13, basically on through college, very much of that back and forward, unstable. I was studying to be in full-time Christian service, and but I was also struggling, just like too often was worshiping self. So the Lord used a series of events during that time, what I like to call sanctified 2x4s, to get my attention, to open my eyes to the reality of the fact that though I had submitted to Him for the most part, most of the time, I still was unstable in all my ways because I was double-minded. And so I needed to follow the advice there in James, and I needed to purify my heart and cleanse my hands. And the Lord used a number of circumstances to start drawing me to Him, and not through salvation, but drawing me back to Him, back to my first love. And I praise God that that has been an ongoing progression this whole time since then, just every day drawing me closer and closer back to Him. And I have been in full-time Christian service since 2007, when shortly after my wife and I got married. We moved to Illinois, where I was working for a church in a Christian school. So that's kind of a long and short of how the Lord, when I was introduced to the Lord, and then the work that He's been doing in my life continually to purify me and purge me of my sin and sanctify me.
Well, praise God. You, at the age of 12, recognized that you were a sinner in need of a Savior and placed your trust in Christ and His finished work on Calvary. I, at the age of 12, was perfecting spitting watermelon seeds out of my mouth like a machine gun in my friends' faces. So you were a lot more advanced as a child than I was. So our theme today is the challenges of Christian parenting today. And I am not a parent, but I know full well, knowing plenty of parents and having parents, that being a parent has always been challenging. And even when we read the scriptures, it's obviously been a challenge from the get-go, right out of the Garden of Eden. But there is, I think, a unique emphasis of our theme today on the word today, because this is a truly bizarre world we're living in. But first of all, let me start off by asking you a question, lest any of our Christian parents be discouraged right now. I mean, there may be many that are warmed and encouraged hearing your testimony when they have little tiny children, and they may have greater confidence and hope and enthusiasm that their children will come to embrace Christ as their Savior, as you did as a very young child. There are others who have teenagers or children, adult children in their 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s, who are rebels against God, who are living wicked lives, perhaps bordering on suicidal in their behavior, who are discouraged because their hearts are broken, that they don't have children such as you were, who are serving Christ, and where they can rest their heads on their pillow with peace and tranquility and confidence that should anything happen to their children unexpectedly, if their children, any one of them, should depart this earth before they, as parents, do, they could at the very least know that those children will be in eternity with Christ. And there are many parents who have no such peace. So please perhaps start off with a word of encouragement to those parents, that latter group, who may be discouraged right now.
Yeah, there definitely are a lot of people in that category that describe many of the families with which I worked at Victory Academy for Boys. I guess my mind goes in a couple different directions. One of them is the fact that God is good. He is good, and he is sovereign. And that means that, number one, we're not going to always understand him. In fact, rarely are we going to understand what he's doing and why he's doing it, unless the Bible reveals it. But we can trust him. We can trust that his plan is going to work out exactly as it should. Now, that doesn't always leave us with confidence and encouragement, because, to be completely honest, human beings are by nature control freaks. We want to know how, why, where, when. We want to be in the middle of it. We want to make it happen. And that reminds me of the second thing, that God has not called any of us to change anybody. We can't do that. But the beautiful reality is that we serve a God of change. Not that he himself changes, but that he is all about changing us. As we just talked about, he made a dead thing, Aaron Brewster, alive at the age of 9. He is about giving new life to dead people. And he's about, even after he gives life, changing us, sanctifying us, purifying us, taking us from one degree of glory to another. So we serve a God of change who is completely in control and totally sovereign. And that right there, with our eyes fixed on Christ, should be the encouragement that we need. I think about Peter. If he had kept his eyes fixed on Christ as he was walking on the Sea of Galilee, he would not have slipped below the waves. But he took his eyes off of Christ, and then he was scared by the waves around him. And yes, the thought of a child of ours going to hell and rejecting the Lord is a terrible burden. But we must keep our eyes on Christ. Isaiah tells us that God keeps us in perfect peace when our mind is stayed, focused, anchored on him. So that's where I would start. But then there's also another encouragement that comes to my mind, specifically from 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And in this passage, it's talking to a wife or a husband or a parent who is married to someone who is unsaved or has children who are unsaved. And this is a big passage. It would deal with deep concepts. It would take a long time to really unpack it. But I want to read it and just encourage us real quick. And starting in verse 14 and then verse 16, it says, "For the unbelieving husband is sanctified through his wife, And the unbelieving wife is sanctified through her believing husband, for otherwise your children are unclean, but now they are holy. And then verse 16 says, for how do you know, O wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, O husband, whether you will save your wife? Or we could add to that, and how do you know, O parent, whether you will save your child? And obviously this is not talking about us being the means of salvation, providing the power of salvation, but this tells us that it doesn't matter how desperate it may seem, we need to continue to celebrate God and worship Him in our current situation, because God plans to use us as a holy influence in the life of those around us. That includes our children. And to say what Paul said here, who knows if your family will come to Christ because of God's work through you. So we can be encouraged, and I tell parents all the time, we can be encouraged because God is who He is. If I'm discouraged because my son is who he is, then I'm putting more emphasis on my son and his ability to mess things up than I am on God and his ability to change things. And then secondly, I can look at Scripture and I can see the fact that God doesn't give me the responsibility to change anybody, but he does want to use me in the process of changing somebody. And as I submit to God and I'm used in that process, who knows what the Lord is going to accomplish when we parents choose to parent the way he wants us to. And I guess lastly, I do have to acknowledge the fact that God forbid, but it is going to happen that, you know, every single one of us is a child, somebody's child. And there are people today who are dying and going to hell today. And so, yes, it is possible that our children, again, God forbid, would be one of those people. But in those times, in those moments, we have to go back to the first point. And we have to remind ourselves that God is good and God is sovereign and that he is trustworthy.
Praise God. Well, I'm going to give our email address out right now in the event that we have listeners who would like to join us on the air with their own questions. Our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence, if you live outside the USA. And please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Let's say you're having a very difficult time with a child of yours and you rather not draw attention to your own identity. We can understand that. And any kind of a similar problem. Perhaps you've had some kind of a horrible childhood yourself, and you don't want to bring upon any unnecessary reproach to your own parents or your family, or whatever the case may be that would be a personal and private matter, please feel free to remain anonymous. But if you are indeed just asking a general question, or a question that does not make you feel embarrassed or any way or uncomfortable letting folks know who you are, at least by first name, city and state and country, then please provide us with that information so that we can get an idea of where our listeners are listening today. And we just love the fact that we do have listeners all over the planet Earth who listen to this broadcast, and we praise God for that every day. And we have to go to our first station break, so if you'd like to join us on the air with a question of your own, send an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Aaron Brewster.
Here's what Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, had to say about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio recently.
Good to be back, Chris. I always enjoy our time. You, I have to say, you're one of the better interviewers out there, and I've been doing this for more than 30 years.
Wow, that's some compliment. How much do I owe you for that?
you don't have to owe me anything. So we're in good shape.
I'm glad you said it on the air, so I don't have to brag about myself.
Tell your friends and loved ones about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, airing live Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time at IronSharpensIronRadio.com.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nestle Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World Now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I have been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Was your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor, or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Buttafuoco & Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878. 4878. Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen, and hopefully we have Aaron Brewster, our guest, on the line. And before the break, Al Yerkes, who is on staff at Wretched Radio and Wretched Television, the media ministry of Todd Friel, who's been a guest on this program a number of times. Al says, at what age should you start spanking, if at all? And he has a couple of other follow-up questions. And I think that that's also, that's also a very appropriate question for the emphasis on the word today, the challenges of Christian parenting today, because doing that in the wrong place at the wrong time could get you possibly thrown in jail.
Yeah, and I think I was commenting on the fact that that is the question that everyone wants to ask and the one question that no one wants to answer. But I will... what I have to do, because there are lots of different ways to come at this, what we have to do in every single situation is we have to start with what does God's Word say. And so in this question about whether or not, what age that we should start spanking, as I believe it was written, really we have to establish first that what is oftentimes referred to as spanking or using the rod or corporal punishment, and I don't like really using that last one very much, but it is something that we see in Scripture. We see that it is consistent with God's character. We see that it's consistent with how He disciplines us. We see that from Genesis and the fall of man all the way through Revelation and the lake of fire, we see that there are consequences for our sin. And really, in this discussion of consequences, we have to understand what they're for. And we're going to answer the question, but if we don't understand what discipline, what consequences are for, we're going to miss the big picture. We can get stuck in the weeds so easily. So first and foremost, this is why consequences exist. The consequences that we humans deliver to each other are what I call secondary consequences. They're not the primary ones. The primary consequences are things that happen every single time anybody sins. And I like to put it this way. There are three primary consequences. Every single time I sin, these three things happen. Number one, I displease the Lord. In order to be consistent, sometimes I like to use the word hurt, not because we're actually hurting God, causing Him pain, but we're hurting Him in our relationship with Him. So, number one, we hurt God. Number two, our sin hurts others. Number three, our sin hurts ourselves. And those are the three things that happen every single time that we sin. But those are also the three things that we don't think about, we don't care about. If we were thinking about those three things, we wouldn't be sinning in the first place. And so the secondary consequences are designed to do one thing, and it's designed to remind us that sin hurts. That's something I say to my children frequently, regardless of what the consequence is. Why are we doing this? And they have learned that the answer is, I need to remember that sin hurts. And these secondary consequences are not the end goal. The end goal is to remind them that sin hurts, and then to remind them, more importantly, about why it is we strive to not sin. It's not behavior management. It's us desiring to glorify God in our relationship with Him. So that's why we do it, and that is consistent throughout Scripture. I do believe that spanking is something that glorifies the Lord. Now, before the break, you mentioned the reality that sometimes, you know, we have very huge concerns about legal ramifications and things like that. And to be honest, you know, everyone, the country you live in, the state you live in, there are so many different parameters about that. I would just encourage you to be wise, to know what the local ordinances are staying, and to be wise in this situation. But there are other options, and I'll get to that in a minute. But back to this question. So spanking is something that I believe is very clear in Scripture. If we're doing it the right way to glorify God, is an appropriate consequence. So the second question ends up being, well, how early do we start? What is the age? And, you know, God didn't say. He didn't put an age in Scripture, but He does use some interesting terminology. And I believe one of the best things that a studier of God can do is to look into the original language. We don't have to be linguistic masters of Hebrew and Aramaic and Greek to be able to appreciate what God is saying. And what we see is that all throughout Proverbs, in particular, when it talks about using the rod, it uses a word that can refer to children of various ages, everywhere from infants all the way up to people in their 20s or potentially even 30s. And so, an example for, you know, just as an example, one of the passages in Proverbs talks about using the rod. That exact same word shows up in Exodus chapter 2, verse 6, referring to Moses as a newborn baby floating down the Nile. And the princess found him and said the boy was crying. And that same word boy is the same word used to refer to a child in the spanking passages. So, but there's another interesting thing in Scripture, too, people like to look at. Deuteronomy 1, 39 is talking about the children of Israel, and they've sinned. And the only people who are going to enter the promised land are going to be the people, and the Bible says this, who this day have no knowledge of good or evil. They shall enter there, and I will give it to them, and they shall possess it. And we see something similar in Isaiah 7, verses 14 through 16. Actually, this one is referring to the coming Messiah. Starting in verse 14, it says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall be with child. Okay, so we're familiar with this. Go to verse 16, it says, for before the boy will know enough to refuse evil and choose good, the land of his two kings you dread will be forsaken. So you see these two instances where apparently there's this age of children where they don't know the difference between evil and good. And I've heard a lot of people say, well, okay, whatever that age is, we don't want to give them consequences before they reach that age. Some people equate this to the age of accountability and different things. But again, the Bible doesn't give any ages specifically. So this is the one thing I like to tell parents. In Genesis chapter 3, we have two people who, according to the scriptures, were innocent. They did not have a knowledge of good and evil. They didn't know what those two ideas were. They were innocent. And yet, they made a choice, and that choice brought consequences into their lives. If we're going to argue that somebody doesn't have a knowledge of good and evil, and so therefore we cannot give them consequences, we're actually doing the exact opposite that God did in Genesis chapter 3, where Adam and Eve ate of the fruit, even though and it was that sin that actually gave them the knowledge of good and evil. And the Lord gave them consequences for what they did, even in their innocence. So here's what I like to tell parents. And this is unfortunately not, you know, again, I can't give an age, but I can say this. Every parent, everyone who's ever had a child who spends the right amount of time with them and loves their child and knows their child, they have an experience where they realize that their child has made a decision, a conscious decision, no matter how immature it may be, no matter how childish or infantile it may be, they've made a conscious decision to do something they know they shouldn't. And when it happens, the parents see it. The parents, if they're paying attention, they can recognize it. And I have a beautiful story for this. It's hilarious. You're going to love it. My sister hates it, though. I'm 3 years older than my sister, and shortly after my sister was born, she and I were sharing a room, and she would stand up in her crib, and she would gab, gab, gab all night long. And my dad wanted to give her the harsh consequence of a pat on the butt, and my mom did not want to do that. She believed that was completely unnecessary and not a good idea. She's just a baby. And so my mom would do lots of things, trying to coddle my sister and trying to convince her to go back to sleep. Well, one night, she was about 6 months old, but she was doing the same thing. She was standing up in her crib, and she had a lot of experiences with mom and dad up until that point because of this exact same behavior. And my mom, hoping to get to her before my dad did, she rushed into the room, and she jumped into her coddling, trying to get my sister to settle down. Well, my sister just kept gabbing and talking and smiling and laughing until she heard down the hallway, she heard my dad's feet hit the floor. The moment my sister, my six-month-old sister, heard my dad's feet hit the floor, she immediately prostrated herself in her bed, closed her eyes, and didn't make a sound. And my mom looked at her and she said, "You stinker." A six-month-old child, she had put two and two together. So here's the thing. We don't know, all right? We don't know at what point your child is going to be able to make a conscious decision to do something that they shouldn't do. But here's the key. When they make that decision, you as a parent need to be there to help them realize the desperately important lesson that sin hurts. It has consequences. That God's consequence needs to be focused on God's truth and done out of God's love, but it needs to be done. And Ecclesiastes tells us that when we are not consistent and we are not immediate in our consequences, that actually encourages the child to continue into a sinful path that actually builds the habit of of sinning. So how old is, what age should we start spanking? I encourage parents to start spanking when they believe, as well as they can tell, that the child is doing something deliberately. And oftentimes you can tell. Most parents I've talked to, they're like, yeah, no, we had an experience like that. And so I think that's pretty much a good place to start on that particular question.
Well, Al may be interested to know that when I was in attendance at a parenting conference being led by my friend Ted Tripp, author of Shepherding a Child's Heart, during a Q&A session, I asked Ted if something that I did was appropriate, a family gathering during a holiday. I said, my nephew was acting like a terror in the living room during the holiday gathering, and nobody was doing anything to discipline him or stop him, neither my sister, who is his mother, obviously, or my own mother, his grandmother, were doing anything. And finally, when he took a Bic lighter and started to set fire to the curtains, I yelled at him at the top of my lungs and smacked him on the side of the head, and I said, is this appropriate behavior on my part? And Ted said, well, how old was he when you did this? And I said, 37. But anyway, we have another listener. Let me ask a couple of other questions that that Al asked before I move on to another listener. He asks, what methods of spanking are acceptable? Hand, switch, etc.
Another good question. I think in this particular one, again, we need to go back to the scripture. What does the Bible say? We know that the Bible frequently uses the term rod, and that's a really important concept there. But again, the Bible doesn't specifically say why. And we are left to use our logic, our theologic, to try to understand why it is the Lord has prescribed that we do a certain thing a certain way. So again, it doesn't say why, and we could conjecture about the reasons all day long, but I believe it's safe to say that if we're going to follow the paradigm of Scripture, then it's generally the best course of action to go ahead and to use something, you can refer to it as a switch or a glue stick or a wooden spoon or whatever else you're going to say. I think that has value and that has benefit. I think the key, though, to remember is that regardless of what we're using, we definitely are not trying to harm our child. We are not trying to break them. We're not trying to cause them to be bruised and broken. That would be completely 100% inappropriate. Remember, sin hurts. Sin is going to destroy us physically and spiritually. It is going to mess up our lives. This is just a signpost. This is a neon light pointing to that reality, and all it has to do is get our attention and get us thinking. Enough discomfort to do that. So the Bible doesn't say that we should use a rod because that's, you know, it's easier for us to hit them harder than if we're using our hand because that hurts us too. No, that is not at all the case. We are not trying to do that whatsoever. This is just simply a tool to use to get attention and to help the child realize that there are far worse consequences that sin is going to bring into our lives than this spanking at this moment, and really keeping a Godward focus in it, not doing it out of anger, not doing it out of any personal feelings of having been offended. That would be a completely inappropriate way to do this. This needs to be done, regardless of what you choose to use, it needs to be done in a way that would please and honor the Lord.
Okay, his last question is, what do you think of time out?
Yeah, I mentioned earlier that I don't think that spankings are the only necessary way to discipline. I think the Lord gives us that as an example. I think it works, and I think it works well on multiple ages, but obviously that's not the only consequence. The Bible discusses other consequences that, you know, people had come upon them throughout the scriptures. Different things happen to different people, and rarely do we actually hear of somebody being spanked in scripture. So, I don't think that's the only legitimate consequence for disobedience. I think the key for this one, though, is to know your child, okay? The Bible says that a wise man is able to draw out of somebody the purposes of their heart, like it's deep water. Imagine putting a bucket down into a well and to draw it out. We need to know our kids, and we need to be able to determine which course of action has the best chances of communicating the one truth that sin hurts. So in this particular instance, I'll use my children as an example. One of the things that hurts more than a spanking does is a monetary consequence. Having to, you know, pay, and my, this has never actually happened, but having to pay for a lamp that was broken, teaches that truth that sin hurts, for my kids anyway, far more than perhaps even a spanking would. So I think, yes, different things are appropriate, but here's the key. Regardless of whether it's a timeout or a spanking or whatever it is you choose to use, this is the big thing I think a lot of times parents miss. Your children need an interpreter in their life. Here's what I mean by that. A child is jumping on the couch. A mother, trying to do her best, getting a little flustered and whatnot, she says, "Stop it. Get off the couch. What are you doing? I've told you 100 times not to do that. Go to your room." Generally speaking, 99.9% of the time, the child is not walking to their room thinking to themselves, "Oh, praise God for my mother who loves me so dearly that in my foolishness, she is going to give me a consequence to drive me to God and remind me of the fact that sin hurts." No. A child is going to go off to his room thinking something like this: "My mommy hates me. She never wants me to have any fun." So one of the problems that I find that a lot of parents get into when it comes to consequences of any kind is the fact that they expect their child to respond maturely and understand the purpose behind all of that. And that's just patently ridiculous. Adults don't do that, let alone children. So what I explain is, to parents, is we need to, in that moment, take the opportunity to share with them, to help them to see the truth of why it is you need to go to your room and have a timeout, why it is you're going to have this spanking. And when you sit down with your child and you explain who God is and how much he loves us and how he desperately wants to have a relationship with us, and our sin is an attack against him, and our sin has consequences and it hurts, and I'm doing this, I'm bringing this consequence into your life because, and we explain this to them, that right there is probably the single most important part of the consequence, regardless of what the consequence may be. But that is so often what we miss. Give me your car keys, give me your phone, you're grounded, go to your room. That's oftentimes where we stop, and then we expect the child to draw the correct conclusions when they've been proving to us by their previous behavior that they are obviously not thinking in a Christ-honoring way.
Well, thank you, Al, and please send my greetings to your boss, Todd Friel. Tell him that I've been very annoyed with him lately for being too busy to return as my guest. So nudge him and nag him and harass him until he finally agrees to come back on the program. We do have time for one more question before we go to our midway break. Let's see, we have Kara in Salem, Ohio. I'm an avid listener of Truth Love Parent podcast, and I've already learned so many valuable and practical ways to parent for the glory of God by listening to Aaron's podcast. I've tried to implement many of the principles for Christian parenting in my family, though it is still a struggle as my husband and three children are unsaved. My question is to ask if there is a specific verse that Aaron can direct me to that would provide strength and encouragement in my situation. Thank you so much.
Wow, thank you, Kara, for being so transparent and for being willing to ask that question. I praise God. I think it's awesome that some of the opening comments that Chris and I were sharing back and forth about just kind of encouraging people in a situation like yours whose children are unsaved. Praise God that those speak directly to your situation as well. And like I said before, yes, 1 Corinthians 7 is such a huge encouragement for us that God wants to actively use us in the life of our children. But the other thing I mentioned was that really when we consume our gaze with the majesty of God, that is really all we need for the peace that passes all understanding. And my mind really right now, with what you said, my mind is really going to Revelation 7:12. Blessings and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. That is the God we serve. That is what he deserves. And we need strength. Yes, we do, because we are impotent. But the person who's going to give us that strength is God. And the avenue he's going to give us that strength is through his word and through his Holy Spirit. We need encouragement. And I'll tell you what, there is nothing more encouraging than knowing that that great God has a relationship with us and wants to use us in the lives of our family. So keep going. Keep praying. Keep resting in on God and be encouraged by his awesomeness.
Well, thank you so much, Kara. And guess what? Since you are a first-time questioner, you have won a free pocket-size New American Standard Bible that you could put in your purse, your pocketbook, your pocket, and hopefully that will provide you with years of blessing, as you will always have the Bible ready at your fingertips when the situation arises where you need it most. So please make sure you give us your full mailing address so that we can have cvbbs.com, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, ship that out to you. We're going to our midway break right now, and folks, for those of you who are not familiar with this program, this is the longer than normal break that we have in the middle of the show, because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle of the show, because the FCC requires of them to localize Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to Lake City, Florida. So therefore, while we air our own globally heard commercials, they air their own locally heard public service announcements and other local things. So please be patient as we take this longer than normal break. Use this time wisely. Write down as much of the information provided by as many of our advertisers as possible so that you can more frequently and more successfully patronize them and therefore keep them happy enough to remain our advertisers, because we absolutely require the funding from our advertisers to exist. So keeping them happy is going to help us remain on the air. Also use this time to send in questions to Aaron Brewster, to chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And as always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. We'll be right back with Aaron Brewster after these messages from our sponsors.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Today at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's leesdrugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gotti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
Iron Sharpens Iron welcomes Solid Rock Remodeling to our family of sponsors. Serving South Central Pennsylvania, Solid Rock Remodeling is focused on discovering, understanding, and exceeding your expectations. They deliver personalized project solutions with exceptional results. Solid Rock Remodeling offers a full range of home renovations, including kitchen and bath remodeling, decks, porches, windows and doors, roof and siding, and more. For a clear, detailed professional estimate, call this trustworthy team of problem solvers who provide superior results that stand the test of time. Call Solid Rock Remodeling at 717-697-1981, 717-697-1981, or visit solidrockremodeling.com. That's solidrockremodeling.com. Solid Rock Remodeling, bringing new life to your home.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World Now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and the Dividing Line webcast here. Although God has brought me all over the globe for many years to teach, preach, and debate at numerous venues, some of my very fondest memories are from those precious times of fellowship with Pastor Rich Jensen and the brethren at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, now located at their new beautiful facilities in Coram, Long Island, New York. I've had the privilege of opening God's Word from their pulpit on many occasions, have led youth retreats for them, and have always been thrilled to see their members filling many seats at my New York debates. I do not hesitate to highly recommend Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, to anyone who wants to be accurately taught, discipled, and edified by the Holy Scriptures, and to be surrounded by truly loving and caring brothers and sisters in Christ. I also want to congratulate Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram for the recent appointment of Pastor Rich Jensen's co-elder, Pastor Christopher McDowell. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net, or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, that you heard about them from James White on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm author Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Dan Lebenick of West Hills Baptist Church in Huntington Station, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Justin Peters of Justin Peters Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Reverend Buzz Taylor, author of God's Lawsuit, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Dr. William Webster, pastor of Grace Bible Church in Battleground, Washington, founder of the ministry Christian Resources. The NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Ryan Galan of Central Islip Community Church in Central Islip, New York. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brandon Smith of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Jackson, Georgia. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Was your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor, or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Buttafuoco & Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com, and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from solid ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, always make solid-ground-books.com your very first stop for all your gift-giving needs, whether it be for birthdays, wedding anniversaries, back-to-school gifts, retirement gifts, baptism gifts, bereavement gifts. We could go on and on and on with reasons that you give gifts to anyone. So please make solid-ground-books.com your main source for all gift giving, whether you're giving gifts for your Christian loved ones or for the lost friends and family members in your life. They perhaps need gifts that include the finest in Christian literature more than even your brothers and sisters in Christ do. Because something that you give a lost person from solid-ground-books.com may be used of God to lead that person to an eternal relationship with Jesus Christ. So go to solid-ground-books.com and always mention Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Whenever you make a purchase, you're not only going to be doing yourself, you're not only going to be doing them a favor and us a favor by helping us keep on the air, since Solid Ground Christian Books will be a happier advertiser and will likely keep renewing their contract with us. But you'll also be doing yourself a favor and anyone to whom you give a gift from solid-ground-books.com because they have the finest in Christian literature from the past and present. You cannot grow wrong, truly, with solid-ground-books.com. They are a vital sponsor of this program. We depend upon their finances to exist. Without them, we would likely go off the air, barring a miracle of God. So please keep patronizing solid-ground-books.com and purchase books from them as frequently as you can and as generously as you can. Before we return to our interview with Aaron Brewster, we just have a couple of important announcements to make. First of all, on Monday, I'm excited to announce that we have, for the first time ever, on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, joining us, Mike Lindell, the My Pillow Guy. He's going to be addressing his testimony, which is actually the theme of his biography, What Are the Odds? From Crack Addict to CEO. And even more important than that title mentions is the fact that he has received the gift of eternal life through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And so we're going to have Mike Lindell on for the first half hour this Monday, the 21st of September, to discuss that biography. We're also going to be having Mike Gadosh on, from 4:30 to 5:30 p.m. He is founder of solid-ground-books.com, the sponsor I just mentioned, and we are going to be discussing what's new in print from the finest in Christian literature. And last but not least, we have another first-time guest joining us from 5:30 to 6 p.m. on Monday, William C. Nichols, founder of International Outreach, who is going to be discussing his new book, Judas Iscariot, Traitor. So we hope that you tune in Monday and send in your questions to chrisarnson@gmail.com for all three of those guests. Also, folks, if you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, you don't want us to disappear, you love this show, you love hearing the guests and the vast assortment of topics that we have on this program, you love receiving free books when we interview authors and free Bibles when you're a first-time questioner, well, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. We are in urgent need of your donations, folks. We lost our two largest financial supporters amidst the coronavirus pandemic hysteria. Our two largest financial supporters were hit so hard financially due to the hysteria that they had to at least temporarily back away from supporting us financially. We don't know if this is permanent or not. So please help us make up for that huge loss so that we can remain on the air. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can also mail in a check the old-fashioned way to the address that appears on your screen. when you click support at IronChirpAndZionRadio.com. Just make your checks made payable to Iron Chirp and Zion Radio. You can also advertise with us by sending me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, as long as whatever it is you're promoting is compatible with what we believe. Also, folks, I want you to remember, never siphon money away from your regular giving that you're accustomed to the local church where you are a member in order to give to us. Please never do that, and never put your own family in financial jeopardy if you're really struggling to survive by giving to Iron Chirp and Zion Radio. Those two things are commands of God in Scripture, providing for your church and family. Providing for my radio show is not, obviously, a command of God. But if you love the show and you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, and you do have extra money, please go to IronChirpAndZionRadio.com, click support, then click to donate now, and donate as frequently and as generously as you can. We really need your support. Donations have died down lately, although we do have some faithful folks that we thank God for every month who send in checks or who deposit on the app at IronChirpAndZionRadio.com when they click support. And we do have some first-time listeners who have donated recently, but they definitely have thinned out, and we are in a very precarious situation. Please help us to remain on the air if you want us to remain on the air. Go to IronChirpAndZionRadio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Also, folks, if you are not a member of a local Bible-believing church, you need help finding one. I have lists of biblically faithful churches all over the planet Earth, and I may be able to help you. So send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put, "I need a church," in the subject line. I will help you find a church, if at all possible, from these lists that I have of churches all over the planet Earth. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com and put, "I need a church," in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to Aaron Brewster, chrisarnson@gmail.com. We have a question from Sarah in Phoenix, Arizona. And let me find that question. Here it is. Sarah is also a first-time questioner, and she says, "How do you balance living with wisdom regarding legitimate awareness of safety without being fearful? I love that my kids are polite to strangers and incredibly excited to visit with employees at our regular stores, etc. And I do feel there's some gospel aspect to this as opposed to a purely cultural regional thing we've brought with us to a big city. How should a believer have a recognition of God's sovereignty over the well-being of their children without being overly trusting and naive? I found it easy to vacillate between the two extremes."
Well, that's a fantastic question. I praise God for your insight and asking it. This definitely is the same thing that we encounter, I think, in every question that we're faced with in Scripture. How do we avoid the extremes? You have children who, honestly, I want to tell you, are blessed. I think, obviously, you know, shy children, children who don't communicate well or often, are also gifts of God. They're special in their own unique ways. But I think specifically children who don't know any strangers, right? And I can definitely, my kids fall under this category as well. I think they are kind of just have a little bit of a step ahead in this particular area because, like you mentioned, there's a really fantastic gospel element to this. A child who is going to, in the future, become a city set on a hill and salt that can be tasted by the people around them are going to be people who are going to have to interact with individuals, who are going to have to be able to love as Christ loved. When Christ was presented with a stranger and the stranger had a grotesque physical ailment or who was a sinner, Jesus loved them and he connected with them where they are. So I think that's a fantastic thing to encourage in our children. So what I think is the best way of coming out this is to be balanced. And what I mean is this. You need to teach your children to use their gifts in such a way that it pleases the Lord. They can be that light, that when people see your children, because the Bible says even children are known by their fruit. They see your children, they can glorify God who is in heaven because of your children's righteousness. All right, that's the first thing. They should be encouraged in that. However, to truly be wise, we can't not teach our children the other side. And oftentimes I encounter parents who don't like to say what might be considered scary things to their kids. They don't want to talk to their children about the potential of being kidnapped. They don't want to talk to their children about the about sexuality and things like that, because A, they don't want to scare their children, or B, sometimes I think to themselves, I don't want to be the person to introduce this concept to my children. But let me just say that we parents need to be the people doing that, all right? We need to be the people talking to our children honestly about God and how he would have us live in this world and the temptations that we're going to encounter. They don't need their friends at school telling them, okay? So, yes, kidnapping and things like that, and God forbid, sex trafficking, I mean, all of that is a huge danger, and we do want our children to be wise, and so we need to talk to them about that. Now, the age of the child, you need to be appropriate with that, and I'll leave that to your wisdom and discretion, but you need to talk to them about how there are dangerous people in this world, people who want to hurt them. You can tell them to prepare them to be wise in this world. All right, so that's an extremely important thing on that side. And then, really, from the parental side of things, this is something I say a lot of times in my counseling. You know, as a biblical counselor, I work a lot with families, and it's so easy for human beings to be like a pendulum. You swing to one extreme or the other, when really we need to be in the center, balanced right where God's word is. And which means that, just like you teach your children both sides of the beauty of their personality, but also the potential dangers of it, and you teach them to be aware of that, you as a parent have to embrace both as well. When we go out shopping, I can't just turn my brain off because I'm focused on something. I have children with me, and I need to be parenting them, and I need to be guiding them in truth when we're out shopping. I need to do that when we're at a theme park. I need to do that when we're if you're dropping your kids off at school. You know, you need to be there aggressively, actively parenting that entire time. And so as a parent, I say, you know, you need to be wise. Your children, depending on their age, should be within a certain distance from you when you're out in public, as wisdom dictates. As my son has gotten older, he's 13. He's 13 going on 27, and he looks a lot older than he is, and I give him some freedom to do things that I won't give my daughter permission to do just yet. She's 10, and she's a lot smaller, and she's a little girl, and they're just things that I wisely won't let her do. Even though she potentially is capable enough to do what her big brother is doing, I know that the dangers of this world in which we live, she's going to be a bigger draw to those wicked people. So, yes, by teach your children both sides of the coin. Encourage them to understand their responsibility before God, but not just to spread the truth, but also to be wise and to avoid evil. And then for yourself, you need to be that parent who's able to guide them through those choices, help them to see this is the time that we can talk to this person and be a good testimony of Christ, but you know what? This is the time that we are going to go do this. We're going to walk away. We're going to go over here and guide them in that. And I would say that that's a good philosophy, really, for any parenting situation. Show your kids both sides of it. Show them what God has to say about it, and then actively help your child apply that truth that you're teaching them.
Well, thank you, Sarah. And if you could also give me your full full mailing address in Phoenix, Arizona, so that cvbbs.com, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, can mail you as a first-time questioner a free pocket-sized New American Standard Bible, perfect for your purse, pocketbook, pocket, etc., to carry the Word of God with you wherever you go. So please make sure you give us your full mailing address as soon as possible. let's see, we have an anonymous listener who says, children are individuals just as all people are, no matter what their age is. How do we treat our own children as individuals without giving them the impression that we have partiality of one or two over others?
Wow, that's definitely something else that we see a lot in our culture. We see it in the scriptures, where Esau and Jacob each had their parent who preferred them over the other one. And I say that favoritism is a sin, and we need to be very careful with that. We never want to love a child over another child. At the same time, to your point, sometimes we'll just connect better with one child than we will with another. And there are so many different reasons that we do that, and their personalities are different, and they're beautiful. And so I think there are a couple different things we need to keep in mind from Scripture. First of all, when we think about love, in 1 Corinthians 13, we learn a lot about love. And love hopes all things, and love believes all things, and love is not does not put our own desires over other people's. When it comes to our children, we need to intentionally love them, just like we are called to love everyone else, including our enemies. It takes intentionality to love, and I work with at-risk families whose children are what I call terrorists. They're using fear and manipulation to control their families, and you know what? It's really hard from a human standpoint to love kids who are actively trying to tear the house down from the inside. And I tell those parents the exact same thing. You need, between you and God, you need to love your child. And when I do that, when I make that plan and I'm purposefully looking for ways to communicate to this child that I love them, whether it's an extreme disobedience scenario, rebellion, or it's just that this child and I just don't connect as well as this other child, maybe because of shared interest or whatever else, when I'm doing that, it's amazing how that can eclipse whatever differences we have. If I can love my enemy, if I can love a complete stranger in God, then that's going to affect my children in the exact same way. I can love them regardless of their differences in personality. And then the other thing is this. Sure, you might not have the same personality as a child, one of your children, and that's perfectly fine. So what you want to do is you want to encourage the Christ-honoring aspects of that personality. Invest in them. One of the best ways to show that we love somebody is to show that is to focus on them and invest in them to help them become who God wants them to be. Start appreciating those differences in their personality. Start seeing how that personality trait can be used to glorify God, and start teaching your child to do that in their lives. And what that will do is that will endear you to them. It'll show them that that part of their personality that is not like yours is still very special to you, and it's special to God. I think that's a wonderful way to connect with them, despite the fact that there might be some differences between the two of you. And the last thing I'd say about that particular question is the fact that, really, there are a lot of extreme personalities in Scripture, from Peter to Paul. I mean, they're all over the place. But what we see is that as we are conformed into the image of Christ, as we think his thoughts after him, as we talk like he talks and act as he acts, and we're being sanctified, if your child is born again, what we start to see is that the extreme personality traits kind of start to get their edges worn off. And though we will always be unique, and I believe in eternity we will still have unique personalities, we will be free of sin, and we will see that we have a lot more in common than perhaps maybe we do on this side of eternity. So as you are helping your child become more like Christ, what you'll find is that you will be helping them to think, hopefully, the way you're thinking, which is supposed to be the way Christ is thinking. And you'll find that you have more and more in common as you are discipling your child to be like Jesus, and as you, as a disciple of Jesus, are also going to become like him.
Well, thank you, Anonymous. And by the way, if you are a first-time questioner, please send me your full email. I keep saying email. Your full mailing address, obviously your full name. It's not going to be disclosed over the air, obviously. So send me that information, if indeed you are a first-time questioner, so that cvbbs.com can mail you also a free pocket-sized New American Standard Bible that you can bring and carry with you wherever you go. It's always great to have the Word of God handy in a size where it's convenient. So please get us that information, and cvbbs.com will get you that Bible shipped out to you as soon as possible. Let's see here. We have John in Bangor, Maine, who says, in response to your last answer that it is a sin to show favoritism, how do you explain Jacob, the father of Joseph in the Old Testament, and how do you explain Jesus Christ himself, who the scriptures refer to as loving John the disciple, which must mean there was a unique way that he loved John that was more extreme than the other disciples?
Good question. Thank you so much for sending that in. Before I answer, though, just really quick, Chris, I think your audience would love to know this. I've created a special page just for them at truthloveparent.com that they can access. It's truthloveparent.com/iron. And if they go to that page, I'm going to I've curated a number of resources for them that talk about some of the things that we talked about today, as well as a bunch of others. I put on there a bunch of the things that I view as being challenges to Christian parenting today, and I put that on there. So I hope that would be a blessing to anybody who's looking maybe for some more information on any of these topics. I'm going to go in and I'm going to add some more info based on the questions that have been presented today, spankings and favoritism and that type of thing. So I hope that's going to be a blessing to everybody who wants to do a little bit more study and get to know Truth Love Parent a little bit more. So truthloveparent.com/iron. But to the question about favoritism. So one of the most important things to do in any conversation really is to define our terms. That is super important. The word favoritism doesn't show up in Scripture. The word love does. We have to know what it means to love. So, for example, when we look at all of the accumulation of the word love in Scripture, we basically can boil it down to this, which, again, is not, these words are not specifically in Scripture, but to love someone is to want and to work toward God's best interest in the life of that individual. If I'm doing what is in God's best interest in your life, it is in your best interest, and if I'm working toward that in your life, I am loving you, all right? But relationships are different, okay? I told the boys at Victory Academy that I loved them as much as I loved my own children. In fact, I would tell them that I loved them as much as I loved my own wife. Now, I would say that specifically to get a reaction from them, and I always did. But then I would explain it to them. If I want God's best interest for my wife, then the Bible is very clear how I'm supposed to be relating to her. However, if I want God's best interest for the children in my the boys at Victory Academy, or my own children, or Chris Arnzen, or you, or anybody else, the Bible is going to be very clear how I'm supposed to love you as well. And oftentimes, there's not overlap. I'm supposed to be loving my wife in a way that is unique to any other person on the planet. Does that mean that I love my wife more than I love my children or the boys at Victory Academy? Well, if loving somebody is wanting and working toward God's best interest for somebody, then the answer would be no. As a Christian, I'm commanded to do that for everybody to the same degree, because it's God's love being poured out through me. So if it's a question of favoritism, liking somebody more, sure, again, we can have that. We can easily, you know, feel attracted to one person over another person. But if we're talking about love, and Jesus Christ, obviously, the manifestation of love, God's love incarnate here on earth, Jesus loves the whole world. And I would say that he loves the world equally. And I think that passage is really beautiful that talks about Jesus loving John. However, there's nothing in that passage that I'm aware of that would give us any impression that he loved John more than he loved somebody else. So I think that really it's just a question that his relationship with John was different. We know that that Joseph's relationship with his dad was different. I would say, though, that that's probably not maybe the best example, only because we know that and that caused a lot of trouble in the family. There was a very broken family, and I don't know that his father's doting on him really was the best choice. Praise God that Joseph loved the Lord and worshipped him and glorified God despite his family situation and everything that happened to him. But I would argue that really what we need to do is we need to be finding out what is in God's best interest for every member of our family, and then we need to be actively working in that direction. And if a child is too immature to see that God's best interest for mommy is different than God's best interest for daughter, or that potentially God's best interest for my son at this moment is for me to invest in him in a unique way, but I'm not investing in another child, then I need to help them see that as well. It's not that daddy loves this child more or likes this child more. It's that right now this is the best way that daddy can glorify God in the life of this child. And we want to be consistent, obviously, doing that in everyone's life. So thank you so much for that question. Thank you for keeping me honest and helping me to clarify that. We definitely need to love everyone the way that Christ loves us.
And we have another follow-up question from Arnie in Perry County, Pennsylvania. And he asks, the classic example that I think may refute your assertion that it is a sin to show favoritism is Jacob being loved by God while Esau is hated, and the whole concept of unconditional election itself.
Great observation. I'm really appreciating you guys pushing on this, because this is what we need to do. We need to be interacting with the scriptures. I did a study, you can find it on the podcast, about 10 things that a Christian parent is supposed to hate. Hatred is a fantastic and very biblical concept. We don't have the time to unpack it all here today, but suffice it to say, and this is, brevity, unfortunately, keeps us from really digging as deep as we'd like, but I would encourage everyone to study this more in Scripture, the concept of hatred. That hatred is not 100% the opposite of love. That hatred is not an emotion. Love is not an emotion. Hatred is a position, just as love is a position. As I position myself toward you, in wanting God's best interest for your life, then I'm loving you. At the same time, biblically speaking, to hate something is to draw a line in the sand, to say that I am separated from this thing. That thing is something over there. That thing is just like sanctification refers to our us being set apart for God. This is setting apart something on the other side, saying that it's an abomination, that it's something to be hated. However, and without getting into all of the nitty-gritty details of the God's sovereignty and salvation and election and predestination and all of that kind of stuff, we see in Scripture that God is a God of wrath in the same way that he is a God of joy and love and peace. We see that he is a God of judgment the same way that we see that he is a God of mercy and grace, all right? And God is perfectly able to balance those in ways that we humans don't understand. But the key is this, specifically when working with our children, and that's the context of really these questions. I say that favoritism is a sin. Again, maybe I should have defined my term better. If I, for my own selfish reasons, and I believe this was the situation with Joseph, if I am, for my own selfish reasons, doting on a child and not doting on another, just like happened with Jacob and Esau, right? One parent was selfishly engaging and investing in one child. The other one was selfishly engaging and investing in the other one. That is sinful favoritism. That does not glorify God. To love my child, to like my child, to enjoy spending time with my child is fantastic. There is nothing wrong with that. But if my behavior communicates to the other child that they are less loved, that I don't value them as much as I value their brother or sister, I am sending the incredibly wrong message that is going to be detrimental to my relationship moving on. I am not God. I am not sending anyone to help. I am trying to disciple my children for his honor and glory. And so therefore, to that degree, I say that favoritism, sinful, self-focused favoritism, as just spending time with a child because I like it, versus spending time with that child that I don't necessarily like to spend much time with, that's going to be a problem every single time in a relationship. But despite the fact that I love, that I like one child more than I like another child, I need to love them, just love them the same. And that's what God has called me to do.
And of course, perhaps you can correct me if you think I'm wrong, but God is a unique being. He is almighty, all righteous, all holy, and although there are allegories and commonalities that we can see in Scripture where his love for us can be compared to a husband's love for his wife and a parent's love for his children and other things, there is nothing that is perfectly and exactly parallel and exactly reflective of God's unique situation, that he is in a category unto himself where he can do anything he wishes.
Amen.
So I'm not speaking off base here.
No, I think that's completely true. We do. The Bible says that we can be angry and not sin. God is angry oftentimes, and he does not sin. And we can do that too, but I tell you what, most of the time, we don't get that right. Most of the time when we're angry, we are definitely sinning, because God is able to do that with ease, perfect ease, that we are not. And there are some things he's able to be, his incommunicable attributes, that we will never be. Not even in eternity, free from sin, we will never be. So you're 100% right. And we do need to be careful not to put ourselves into God's position. I'm not saying that the person who wrote in did that. I'm not saying that at all. But we do need to be careful putting ourselves into certain of God's positions that we just can't do. We can't have necessarily, we struggle anyway to have what might be considered a God version of favoritism. It ends up backfiring on us.
Well, we're going to our final break right now. It's going to be a lot more brief than the last two breaks. So if you have a question, I would strongly suggest that you send it in immediately to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, to make sure we have enough time for our guest, Aaron Brewster, to adequately respond to it. chrisarmson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Aaron Brewster after these messages from our sponsors.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Are you a Christian looking to align your faith and finances? Then you'll want to check out Thrivent Financial. We're not your typical financial services provider. We're a not-for-profit Fortune 500 organization that helps our nearly 2.4 million members be wise with money. We provide guidance that reflects your values so you can protect what matters most. We help members live generously and strengthen the communities where they live, work, and worship. Learn more about the Thrivent story by contacting me, Mike Gallagher, financial consultant, at 717-254-6433. Again, 717-254-6433.
Blending faith, finances, and generosity. That's the Thrivent story.
We were made to thrive.
Was your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor, or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Buttafuoco & Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so, and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen, and our guest for nearly 2 hours now has been Aaron Brewster. We are talking about the challenges of Christian parenting today, and if you'd like to join us on the air, we are rapidly running out of time, so send us an email immediately to chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And we do have an anonymous listener who says, what do you do in the precarious situation where your ex-spouse and ex-in-laws may be steering your children to an opposite direction from what the Bible has to say about their lives and about obedience to God if they are unbelievers, without vilifying them and starting a war in the family?
That's a fantastic question, and that right there is a reality that many people live in. So I feel your plight with that. We have to understand, though, that the situation your children are in is not so dissimilar from the situation my children are in. Yes, my kids are hearing the same truth from both parents and from their grandparents, but the world, influenced by Satan, run by Satan, is desperately trying to lie to them in every single arena. Entertainment, in their schools, and their friends, it's happening everywhere. Everybody is being influenced. And sometimes we like to think that certain influences are more powerful than others, and that is true. But if we are going to acknowledge that certain influences are more powerful than others, then we have to acknowledge the fact that the Holy Spirit is the greatest influencer ever. When I worked at Panera Bread Company as a cashier, one of the things that I had the privilege of experiencing was finding a counterfeit bill. Now, I didn't find a counterfeit bill because I studied counterfeit bills. You guys know where this illustration is going. I found the counterfeit bill because thousands of dollars of real bills passed through my hands every single day. So when I found it counterfeit, it stuck out to me as being different and something wrong with it.
By the way, I just want to let you know. I want to let you know that I passed that on without my knowledge of its origins. I'm sorry. That was a joke.
Not a problem.
That was a joke, Aaron.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
That counterfeit bill. I appreciate that. Oh my goodness, this guy. All right, so despite the counterfeit bill that Chris gave me. The reality that we're facing with our kids is the fact that we really need to focus on them being grounded in truth. They need to know that. We need to introduce them to Christ. They need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and we need to fill our parenting with truth. And if we are going to believe that an ex-husband or ex-in-laws or friends at school or some radio program or some TV show or some writers are going to somehow undo what God has done, we are very mistaken. And your plight is difficult. I acknowledge that, and it's hard, and you're right. You do not want to vilify anyone. You want to love them. You want to teach your children to love them. But first and foremost, you need to teach your children to love God's truth so that they can recognize the error, so that they can see it. And it's difficult when they're young, but we have to start when they're young. Jesus encouraged the little children to come to him because they could understand. They could have the faith necessary to trust in God. So your children are in very good hands. In the fact that God is the father to the fatherless and the husband to the widows. He's the protector of the widows. And you're in a very interesting position because of that. And I would thank God for that position you're in. And you're right. Don't vilify anybody. We need to be honest. We need to speak truth in love. We need to let our children know that this person believes this, but God says this. And that's really the most important thing that we can do for our kids, especially in the situation that you're in.
We have another anonymous listener who asks, is it ever legitimate to insist that one of your children leave the home if they are sinning in such a way where we believe that they are putting the lives of not only us and our spouses, but our other children in jeopardy.
I did a podcast series, a three-part series called The Rock, the Bread, and the Donut, and that speaks to this question of why we give our children what we give them, good, bad, and ugly. And a qualified answer to your question is going to be yes, it is appropriate in certain situations to do that. However, I do want, the qualification is this. Obviously, we have the legal responsibility in our country, whatever your country happens to be, to protect our children, to care for our children, to be legally responsible for them. I would say if your child has, for example, here in America, if your child has not yet reached the age of 18, that is not an option for you. That is not something that you should be pursuing. However, if your child has reached that age legally, where removing them from the home, difficult and terrible as that would be in many ways, is legal, all right, and there are not going to be any ramifications for that, I would definitely say that there are situations where that is a legitimate course of action that sometimes has to be taken. There are a lot of things to think about in that, and I would just encourage anybody, especially you anonymous people who have sent in your questions, feel free to send us an email. We do free email counsel at Truth of Parents. Just send an email to counselor@truthofparent.com. If we can be a blessing to you, to speak through the unique intricacies of your family situation, to be able to give you better answers, I would be honored to serve you in that way. But the answer, generally speaking, is yes. That is appropriate, and we see that in scriptures and many different occasions for how the scorner is to be treated.
Yeah, that even could warrant a program all on its own, because there are many scenarios that go even beyond putting at jeopardy the safety of parents and siblings. I mean, you might have a child that's an unrepentant homosexual who is actively involved in that activity while still under your roof, or even heterosexual sin. But we could go on and on with that. Well, I want to make sure that our listeners have all of the contact information they need to be in contact with you. Truthloveparent.com is the website, truthloveparent.com. And do you have any other contact information that you care to share?
So, well, most of it will be found there. We love to redeem your social media news feed, so finding us on social media so that you can get Christ-honoring parenting encouragement there is something that you can definitely do. At truthofparent.com/iron, you can find out specific information for you considering the show, what we talked about. And the other podcast that I host is called The Celebration of God. I think that would be a very huge encouragement to anyone listening today, especially if you don't have children. That would be a lot more applicable to you, whereas Truth Love Parent would be more for families. And reaching out to us, a counselor at truthloveparent.com, is a fantastic way to be able to ask questions of our counselors and hopefully be pointed back to Christ.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, Aaron, for proving to be such an outstanding guest. I look forward to your frequent returns as a guest to this program. I want to thank everybody who listened. I hope that you all have a safe and blessed and glorious weekend and Lord's Day. And remember, this Monday, we've got joining us for the first time, Mike Lindell, the My Pillow Guy. And we are going to be discussing his biography, What Are the Odds? From Crack Addict to CEO. And we've got two other guests joining us on Monday after Mike. I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.